All right. You are listening to The Real World on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. So The Real World is UBC Film Society's radio segment where we talk about all things film related. And not only do we host this radio show, but we also put on various film screenings throughout the week and have many more movie related events that you can find on our website. On our website and also on our Instagram at UBC Film Society. So upcoming this week, we have tonight a screening with UBC Slow Fashion Season, Moonrise Kingdom, followed by Hunt for the Wilder People. Tomorrow, we're screening The Matrix at 6 p.m., followed by Pulse at 8:30. And on Saturday, we have the UBC Cinephile Undergraduate Student Conference at 10 a.m. So we hope to see you at any or all of those events. And, you know, in honor of the week, it's St. Patrick's Day, as I'm sure you are aware. It's not
Monday.
Anymore.
Monday.
Yeah, it is St. Patrick's week, you know, St. Patrick's weekend. So we figured, yeah, let's do some Irish cinema. But before we get into all that, we're going to play some ads for you guys. So we'll be right back.
Devin Cole is a woman in total control. Unafraid and unashamed, Cole has burst onto the scene through her expertly crafted feminist pop anthems, packaging social truths into repeat-worthy bops. This is the era of fempop, and Devin Cole is an artist you don't want to miss. Join Devin Cole on her Two Shades Blonder tour and see her in Vancouver at the Biltmore Cabaret on March 16th. To find out more and get your tickets, visit admitone.com. That's admitone.com. I should be swimming, but I'm a fiend for the troublesome boy who's driving me wild. Keeping me on the top of my...
For your oral listening pleasure, please join me, Marguerite, Sundays at 9 a.m. for Classical Chaos, classical music from around the world, right here on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. We'll see you then.
Are you looking to decolonize your self-care routine? Take a trip down to Sisters Sage for a variety of handmade soaps, bath fizzies, smudge sprays, and salves infused with traditional plant medicines. Sisters Sage is an award-winning local indigenous business run by Tsimshian and entrepreneur, activist, and community builder Lynn Marie Angus and her dog TJ. Passionate about crafting wellness products that are respectful of the land we live on, Sisters Sage is committed to a heart-centered approach to self-care as well as our collective healing. Located on 1312 Kingsway, you can drop by from Monday to Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. See you there.
We Outside presents Lost in Paradise, featuring Sam Wallace performing at the Cobalt Cabaret on March 14th at 6 p.m. Head to showpass.com and look up We Outside to grab your tickets today.
Whoa, hold on. Where are you taking all those cacti?
I need to put them near the radio.
How come?
They love to hear Everly's nature-based music on Dead Succulent Haunt every Thursday at 5 p.m. on CITR 101.9.
Oh, Dead Succulent Haunt? Where your plants can grow and you can mourn those you've lost?
Come on, plants, let's grow.
All right, and we're back. So, as mentioned before, we are going to be talking about Irish movies, Irish cinema, you know, just
Irish art in general.
Yeah, hitting it big with Ireland today.
Yeah, and this is, of course, in honor of St. Paddy's Day, which was on Monday.
Yes, you know, hopefully you guys got out, did whatever you wanted to do for St. Patrick's Day, and now you're in listening to us talk about Irish movies.
Yeah,
and
thank you for spending it with us.
Yeah, we really appreciate it, you know? We've got the luck of the Irish for having you guys as listeners.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But I think we're going to kick it off pretty strong. Mm-hmm. Start with a bit of a tonal shift from All Our Happiness. Banshees of Inisherin.
Yes.
Yeah, that is been like probably the most prolific Irish movie in recent memory, I think, in terms of Academy
I would say, yeah, especially, and it came out in 2022, so very recent, and made a lot of waves. And I feel like we have to just acknowledge that, like, in the last few years, I feel like there has been such a moment for, like, just Irish performance and Irish art and culture, and this movie is definitely a big kind of leader in that way. And like you said, especially with like Academy recognition.
Yeah. No, even like we were just off the air and talking about this. Like this was, even though it didn't win any Academy Awards, it was a very tough season with like Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah.
And I think that this movie was like, while absolutely incredible, not quite to that level. I think had this come out maybe like this year, the year before, it probably would have done a bit better.
Yeah. But I feel like it was probably like second.
Yeah.
It was in second place. Yeah. And it did win some other like not Oscars. It did win some other stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and Colin Farrell won an acting award. I don't remember which one, but he did. Yeah. So it did get the praise that we both think it deserved.
It did. Yeah. And this is not the first time for, you know, the main trio of director Martin McDonagh, then the two main stars of Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson.
Yes.
They have been in Bruges, yeah, together, which you just watched.
Mm-hmm. Which was also directed by McDonagh, like you mentioned, from 2008. Yeah. So long time ago, and then not really that long ago, you know, then they reunited. So I think they're just such, and I just watched that because we screened it at the Norm for St. Paddy's Day. And I had seen, like, I think I saw like bits and pieces of it when I was younger, but I hadn't watched the whole movie.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it.
Really?
It was, I thought it was really funny. There's definitely a few things where it's like, okay, this movie did come out in 2008, like a couple, like, but I think it's very aware of it, of itself.
Yeah.
And definitely like the two lead performances were just spectacular. Like, they have such a great dynamic, and kind of a similar dynamic where, like, kind of begrudgingly, you know, interacting, and there's just so much charm though. Like, the two of them, they're just awesome. They're both like exceptional actors, and then you put them together, and it's just like, oh, of course this is like magical. It works so well.
Be incredible. Yeah. No, I think I honestly didn't really like In Bruges. I think.
Wait, you watched it?
Oh yeah, I've seen it.
I didn't know you'd seen it.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. It, like, here we go.
Yeah.
You didn't like it?
I did not. I really didn't like it.
Oh.
I think the humor just really didn't work for me. I think the only thing that kind of saved it was the lead two performances.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Colin Farrell, Brendan Gleeson, like, they're killing it. They play off each other so well.
Oh, yeah.
But it was just not for me. So
That's fair.
Went into Banshees kind of like, okay, you know, I didn't really like their last collaboration. So I'm interested to see how this one plays out. And oh my God, did I love
this. Did it
this.
Play out?
Did
it
this out. Play out? Like, I don't even know where do you want to start with this movie?
I don't know. I mean, I think we could again talk about the performances, because I feel like in this film too, it's not just the two of them that are like, they do have, so incredible. And again, like, they really play off each other and work well. And, you know, they're playing like this pair of friends who, the Colm, who is Brendan Gleeson's character, decides, he's like, I don't want to be friends with you anymore. And he tells that to Padraig, who is Colin Farrell's character. And it's just about their kind of like, I don't know, like they butting heads and trying to reconcile and being difficult.
Yeah.
And it really does like feel like, okay, this is a friend. And it makes sense because, you know, they've worked together in the past. Like, these people have known each other for a long time, and and some, but something has changed. And so both of the two of them were incredible. But then also Carrie Condon as Siobhan, Patrick's sister.
Oh my God.
She was so good. She was so good in this. Yeah. Like, just like, And then, of course, Barry Keoghan is Dominic, who's like the local boy. He's the son of the policeman in the village who his father beats him. And he just, like, you know, people always say, right, Barry Keoghan all plays a weird little guy's like so well. And he really does. But I think this character in particular is like, there's a lot of like emotion behind it, which I thought was really. And my mom really liked this movie, and she really liked that character in particular. And it's so like devastating, his character.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, something bad is going to happen to him. Like, it's like you're watching and you're like, there's no way this can end well for him. So there's like this tragedy before, like, you even really know him on screen. Like, he's just like, his situation is so, the odds are so against him that you're like, this isn't going to end well for him. And it doesn't. But I think that's another thing that was so compelling for me about this film, was the figure of like Miss McCormick as like an actual like banshee.
And kind of like the warning of tragedy, of misfortune in the village. And this very like, she is very like kind of mythological. She kind of appears out of nowhere and kind of flits away. And everyone's kind of like weirded out by her. But
it's very like, I think visually is what really like she sticks in my mind, just of how like striking she is, because there's obviously like a pull from like, you know, Death, from like Ingrid Bergman's like Seven Seal, which like everyone and their mother is like parodied that, like it's a, like Bill and Ted too, like this is a very well-known like image of death, so seeing it represented alongside like Irish folklore, I think really hammered home like the impact and like the devastation.
Must had a long day.
Like the devastation that like is being wrought upon this village, not just by like this little like friendship feud, but by like the Irish Civil War as like, because this is like kind of a metaphor for that.
And it's set in, so that would be then, let me quickly
well, you hear it like happening in the background, like they'll comment on it in passing, which I enjoy that we know that it's happening, but it's never too explicit, because I feel like a lot of Irish cinema is reduced to like these types of troubles, or like the literal troubles, or just even like these periods of violence. Like, it feels like the Irish identity is just so often reduced to the violent acts against them, that I'm really glad that we're able to get a more sort of humanistic story that still contends with this violence. This is like an inherent part of Ireland, like, is like this very like violent history, and it also explores like all these other aspects of the characters, I think, without like, you don't really get a mismatch between that. Like, it feels like a character story while also incorporating
the world around
it.
Them is still going on. I agree, and I really like the story. Like, I think it just, I mean, it's very relatable, like maybe not to the degree that I would say Colm takes it in particular, but that kind of like, oh, you have a falling out with a friend, or you realize like, you know, this friendship isn't what you want. You don't want to be a part of it anymore. And and it's just kind of like,
It's like, it sucks, but
then it's like imagining it as if you're on, you know, a very small island where it's kind of hard to avoid seeing this person. This sounds like UBC campus. But I really enjoyed it. And I think it's also, you were kind of talking about like a little bit of like the kind of visual look when you're talking about Miss McCormick, but like especially then in her in like juxtaposition to the landscape, which is just so beautiful.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
The greens and blues and grays and browns, and it's just so like picturesque.
It's so lush, and it's like even amongst all of this like, you know, this like solemn sort of like fog, and like it's gloomy, it's overcast the whole time, but you're still like, God, it looks so nice.
It's so beautiful.
Like, there's just this beauty to it that I think it's really like quietly explored in the background.
It's really a pretty movie too. And it just makes you want to be there, like,
yeah,
you know,
I want to wear one of those sweaters.
Yeah, but to like, you want to get Siobhan to knit you a sweater.
They
a
were actually a jumper. A whole bunch of them were hand knit. By
that's amazing.
One of this. Okay, let me see.
Yeah, the costume designer. Or someone else.
This 80-year-old Irish woman, Delia Barry. So four of the main sweaters.
Yeah.
And I guess the costume designers talked about like the process of aging the sweaters because like Delia knit them and then they were all hand distressed. So a lot of people think it's just like, oh, you just go and you mess up the sweaters. But
no.
It's like the costume designers talked about how it's more like, no, this is like imbuing them with character. It's like, oh, maybe
what was this person doing when they were wearing this sweater and how do we make it look like that?
Or it's like, oh, or maybe they have a nervous tic where they like run their hands like on their sweater or something.
So or they pull a thread.
So it really like just helps build some sort of portrait of character in it. And I think I love costuming in film, and the costumes in this are done with so much like care and intention.
Yeah. I was reading about it too, how like they kind of they wanted, I mean, obviously a lot of costume designers do this, but in a movie where maybe, you know, it's they're wearing like clothing that could just be considered like everyday clothing, how to kind of put the character into the clothing. You might have to like think a little bit harder, you know, it can't be as like overt as like, oh, they always wear this color or they always wear, you know, where, you know, Podrick has kind of a naive like style they talked about, and Colm dresses, they wanted him to dress kind of as if he'd like seen what, because he's a musician, he plays the fiddle.
Yes.
Like as if he saw what other artists were wearing in other parts of the world and wanted to kind of like mimic that. And so they thought of like the fabrics that he would wear. And I just think that's so genius and like shows how even the little things that you don't think of as an audience member watching the film, it's like this really has been
they didn't
just pick something off a rack, like it's
there's a lot of care. And speaking of insane care put into stuff, the score, beautiful, so subtle and like really like when we're talking about like something underscoring a film, like this underscores a film. Like it is, this is not like, you know, All Quiet on the Western Front sort of score. Like, this is a very sort of, like, melancholic, like, self-reflexive score. And it's really, like, I think it's very beautiful.
I agree. And I feel like it pairs really well with the landscape.
Yes.
So picture a beautiful, the Irish Sea as you listen.
There.
Yeah.
There's some sweaters. You're wearing a warm sweater. Delia knit
Hand-knit sweater.
Hand-knit sweater from Delia. So here it is. This is Colm Takes the Reins by Carter Burwell off of the Banshees of Inisherin soundtrack. So we hope you enjoy. Thank you. All right, that was Calm Takes the Reins off of the Banshees of Inisherin soundtrack. So hope you enjoyed, because our next song is going to be a bit different. The next film we're going to be talking about is a more recent release. It is Kneecap, which came out last year.
Yeah, in 2024.
Yeah. So it is directed by Rich Pepiat, who, if you don't know, he did some music videos for the band that the film is centered around.
Kneecap.
So it follows their rise, and it's actually like the three main actors are the members of the band, which is so cool.
And it's like a semi-fictionalized kind of like biographical film.
Yeah.
So some of the things in the movie they are actually based on real life occurrences in the band's rise to fame. And other things are kind of elaborated on, or characters are kind of created for the sake of the story. But I really liked this movie. It was just so fun.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to ask you, because I knew Kneecap before the movie, and like I liked a few of their songs and really like admired what they were doing for the Irish language. Because that's, we should say, they are an Irish hip hop trio, and they rap in Irish and English, but primarily Irish. Yeah. And they're really, you know, focused on increasing visibility of the Irish language and encouraging people to learn how to speak it.
Yeah.
And to speak it and own their language rights. So
yeah, and like bringing it into like a sort of more modern context.
Yeah, which is part of the like film. But I just wanted to ask you if you were familiar with Kneecap before this movie.
I was not, actually. This was my first introduction to Kneecap. Like, I knew of them in the very broad sense, but I had not really interacted with any of their music or anything. But I'm...
Well, now I know you're a fan.
Oh, yeah.
Because I saw your Letterboxd review. And you said that it will do damage to your playlist.
Oh, yeah. My Spring 2025 playlist is just full of Kneecap now. It is like half Kneecap, half The Cure. It's just total whiplash. But, you know, I think this movie, it's just like... That's kind of the point of it, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a fun
time. It is supposed to like totally jostle you.
Yeah.
I think that's like what their music does.
Yeah.
It's for sure like unlike anything that I've heard before. Like, it's just so, and they're just fun songs. Like, they're fun songs. But yeah, no, I agree. It's very like it'll shake you out and like,
I think like even like talking about how with like Banshees of Inisherin and like even Irish cinema in general, like I mentioned earlier, like it's always concerned with the troubles or like violence and like a bit more of a dour tone. Like they talk about this at the beginning, like in a very like
they're from Belfast.
Yeah.
And yeah, they talk about how like, sorry, I feel like I'm you finish
no,
your thought.
Just, yeah, like they very much like they point at and like kind of address how like, oh, everyone just reduces Ireland to this like, you know, the troubles and
the
like,
state
the
of violence
and just like, yeah, constant upheaval, and they're like, oh, and this is not a film about any of that, we're gonna go snort some coke, and it's like, hell yeah,
yeah,
let's get off to a crazy start. And it just goes like, I think the like near the end the pacing kind of died a bit for me, but even that is like only like last like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But other than that, it keeps up a very like breakneck, like go, 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 go pace.
For
and
sure.
It's a quick movie. It's only like...
It's hour and 45,
hour 45,
I think. Yeah, what did you think like stylistically? Because there are like little doodles that come up on screen. It's very colorful,
I
a lot of like clashing colors.
Loved it. Like you can definitely tell it's coming from a music video director, because like especially the scenes where they are... like
performing
rapping.
yeah
like you can tell it's like the way it's shot, you're like, okay, this is like straight off of like, yeah, like, oh, I'm on YouTube and I just saw like the official music video pop up or something. It's very stylized in a way that works, and it doesn't feel jarring. Like, it doesn't feel like we're getting music videos with like narrative interspersed. It fits really well. Like, they've kind of built this very electric feel to the whole movie, and like there's even this really fun sequence in like claymation.
Yes, I loved that part. They're
so cool.
Yeah, they're all high.
Yeah,
on like ketamine or something, and it's claymation, and it's just so, I feel like you can really tell that this movie was a collaboration of like, oh, we want to have this. We have so many ideas.
Yeah.
And it's not like they just like smush it together and it comes out and you're like, okay, they needed to like skim this. Like, I think it just feels like so much personality is in this movie because of all those little quirks. And
I feel like it's a movie that is like unabashedly like very firm in presenting its politics, which I really appreciate. Like, it very firmly grounds like the Irish language resistance alongside like the American like civil rights movement and like the movement to free Palestine. Like, it is very much saying like, it's showing how like expression of culture can be used as this act of resistance.
Yeah.
And it's like pointing to all these other examples of,
especially
like,
with music and hip hop in particular. There's even a line, right, that says like, in the United States, like hip hop, like, we're trying to use hip hop the same way that Black Americans used hip hop and continue to use hip hop.
Yeah. So I think it's very much like in touch with like how transgressive what they're doing is. Like, it isn't trying to pass this off as a non-political thing, because it is like very intertwined with like the politics of the day. And I think it does a really good job of hammering home the importance of the Irish language.
Yes.
And bring it to a modern day.
Mm-hmm. And they have not just, they've got like flack for this from like the United Kingdom government. And like in I just have a little like blurb here that I had heard about in the news and thought it was kind of relevant to show that, like, you know, pieces of art like this do need to be made because it has a message. And so this says, in February 2024, the group was awarded a grant of around £14,000 from the Music Export Growth Scheme, which was then blocked by the Department for Business and Trade. And the business secretary said that the grant should not be awarded to people that oppose the United Kingdom itself. The group filed a discrimination case against the UK government, winning the case and receiving the total grant amount in November 2024. They split the grant to two youth organizations who work with Protestant and Catholic communities in Northern Ireland. So you can see, like, they're about their community and they are about where they came from.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, I don't know. I just, they stand for something, which I really like. So, yeah.
No, this is definitely one of those films where you go in and, like, I know I went in, like, not really knowing what to expect out of this film. Because I feel like, especially music biopics, it's like, they can be so hit or miss. And I find I don't tend to enjoy them. But then when they take this playfulness with it, like, it felt almost like, I don't know if you've seen like Weird, the Al Yankovic.
I've not.
That one is another one that's just
Daniel Radcliffe. Yeah.
That's another one that kind of like at points just reminded me of just how like they don't take themselves too seriously. Yeah. And I feel like that's a really important part of it. Like, I think it just makes it like such a fun viewing experience. And you will come away from this adding Kneecap to your playlist. And like, I can bet.
Well, and I think that it works really well, too, is because it's like, oh, this is a story. Like, you don't need to be a fan to begin with to watch this movie and have a good time, because it's not going to just like drone through everything, like, you know. And the thing is like, you know, the parts of the story that are true, it's like, wow, that actually happened. Like, they've had some crazy stuff happened to them, and so it makes for a good story. So I'm really happy that this movie exists. And one of my favorite Kneecap songs, probably my favorite Kneecap song, is that plays for a little bit in the movie, but not a lot, but it's
not long enough.
But I was like, oh my gosh. And that is Better Way to Live by Kneecap, featuring Grian Chatton, who is the lead singer of Fontaines D.C., which, if you were listening last week, you know I'm a huge Fontaines D.C. fan.
It all comes back to Fontaines D.C.
It does. And, so I really like this song, and another Fontaines D.C. song does play in this movie. We're not going to play it because this is Kneecap.
Yes.
So this is we're ready. Yeah.
This is Better Way to Live.
Kneecap and Grian Chatton.
On a knee, falleth thunder in his mouth. tragic. And if there's a better way to live, I gotta have it. Because I think all day, but when I drink, I'm okay. Gets further away every time I try grab it. Underneath, I'm a chatter in this heaven. Got a little peak one day, made me feel like I was seven. I know it exists, but I can't stop getting pissed. One more thing, I'll be added to the list.
Fury to jury, tackle him a rut. Marvy Lamb, white Uggams and you. We hustle a fox, so I stroll and draw and false a weller. Four digit code, what do you know? It's Makara. I'm gonna be spending my dough tonight. 2 pence at a time, strolling about like Dolomite. But home for a shake, dirt deuce, a chair, a mark, one push. My narrow backer, be it while you strapping you. From Oakley Pop. And then we both jump down and do your class handstand like a man's man can. Fox land, listen to that of the Ogin and Visha. Mark a G-Shaw, I'm on the upside of the seesaw.
Underneath, I'm a thunder and there's magic. And if there's a better way to live, I gotta have it. Because I think all day, but when I drink, I'm okay. Gets further away every time I try grab it. Underneath, I'm a chatter in this heaven. Got a little peak one day, made me feel like I was seven. I know it exists, but I can't stop getting pissed. One more thing, I'll be added to the list.
Gafol, ik mohi kosa la kagak. Ni liga man never so when yan and she stop. I was seen not why. Much but you mogli bob. Karima ray bound. Turn to the bag. I'm a chat and never come alone. But I and time will go and on. Tan seal show by rugger is that a karima gun or a dama on. You shiri yet the kyongiri elu a han second. There a shag said that the battle with a text. Makahi to two hand a crow on tossy. A wide row or a spickle curd. Hand a coney money. Hand a nice lacony. Jack a be rugged like stalkies. 5 year of blast. All the nimmy and them pure.
Underneath, all the thunder and there's magic. And if there's a better way to live, I gotta have it. Because I think all day, but when I drink, I'm okay. Gets further away every time I try grab it. Underneath, all the chatter in this heaven. Got a little peak one day, made me feel like I was seven. I know it exists, but I can't stop getting pissed. One more thing, I'll be added to the list.
In me after Hyun, Kaida clicking in Arja, or Warner done. Take them sick of Will and Seal drum, it's John to her run. But we got one chance, and then it's fun. So be who hands, speak your pain and receive the love. Don't let the cunts get ya. Don't surround yourself with ones that miss ya. Talk sack and talk on all not goonies sketch ya. It's great, get dang and go will and seal short ditch ya.
Underneath all the thunder and there's magic. And if there's a better way to live, I gotta have it. Because I think all day, but when I drink, I'm okay. Gets further away every time I try grab it. Underneath all the chatter in this heaven. Got a little peak one day, made me feel like I was seven. I know it exists, but I can't stop getting pissed. One more thing, I'll be added to the list.
All right, that was Better Way to Live. Not off the kneecap soundtrack, technically, yes, but not made for it.
Yeah, it's from their most recent album called Fine Art.
Yes.
And that's featuring Korean Chatten. So
go check them out if you didn't already know them. As we move into our final segment.
Which is just us fangirling pretty much.
Yeah.
Just about our favorite Irish actors and our favorite like pieces of Irish media and musicians. So where to begin?
Yeah. Well, I guess you have any Irish movies, TV shows you really?
Well, okay. It is a TV show, but I want to specifically talk about the book, which is Normal People.
Yes.
It's my favorite book. I've read it twice, and it's just so good. It's by Sally Rooney. The first time I read it on an airplane, and I read it in just entirely on the flight, in 2 hours. But I saved the last 10-ish pages to read at home because I just knew that it was going to be really painful and I didn't want to be in public reading it.
Real.
And I was right because I went home and finished it and I was just
devastated.
I think I reread it the last little bit just over and over to be like, oh my God, did that whoa. Just the ending, just the whole novel is it's so incredible. It's obviously really popular, and I think it deserves the hype because it is just so good, and it's so devastating, and the characters are just incredible. And then I read it again for a class last year, actually, which was really, I was so excited to see that on the syllabus, and then I got to write a research paper about
it. Oh my God.
Which was I was just off to the races because I got to write about something I was actually interested in. Mm-hmm. And so I love that book. And then, okay, this is going to sound crazy then because I just was talking about how much I love it. But I haven't seen the show because when I think it's also just the perfect thing to read around this age because it's about people this age, like in university. And there's just so much, like, the dynamics are just so on point, and like the social commentary is so on point. And I love it. I haven't seen the show because when I came to UBC, I was going to watch the show. And then I saw that it was on a reading list. And I was like, I don't want to watch a show if I have to write a paper about this book because I don't want to get the two mixed up in my head. So there's so many TV shows, you guys. Please don't be upset with me. I'm trying to watch everything. But and then obviously Paul Mescal's in the show. Yes. Ooh, just
Irish icon.
Who doesn't love him?
Exactly.
Who does not love him?
He's been having his moment recently.
Mm-hmm. He's excellent. I mean, we talked about After Sun on here a little bit, and I think that's such a good performance. Like, oh my God, he is just devastating. Like, his facial expressions.
Yeah.
He's so good.
I don't know what they're feeding them
down
in Ireland, but they're like something's the facial working. Acting. Like all like these Irish actors, I'm like, oh my God.
Well, I mean, Colin Farrell. I said like his eyebrows.
Yeah,
in Bruges, I was so distracted.
Oh, I know.
Because he's just like they're moving around. They're pinched so much. He's so worried. You can
jump
see
off
it.
His face. Colin, your eyebrows.
Yeah. No,
Lock
it's
down.
Yeah. They know what they're really good facial actors over there.
Oh yeah.
Do you want to talk about anyone? I have a whole list.
Oh, you have a whole list.
I mean, I might just end up reading them out.
I feel like all the Irish actors I like, they're either like very, like, I'm like, oh, this is an Irish actor, or it's the sort of thing where I'll be looking into them and be like, oh my God, I didn't know they were Irish.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like some of the latter, it's like obviously the name Saoirse Ronan is very Irish, but
you're telling me you didn't.
No, I didn't know that she was like grew up in Ireland. Like, obviously that's an Irish name, but I wasn't, you know, I didn't know she was like that. Connected to Ireland.
I did know because, okay, obviously, again, I love Lady Bird. We also talked about that on here. But I feel like the first time I, like, heard of Saoirse Ronan was Brooklyn. Mm. Which is, like, she's playing an Irish woman in that. So I knew she was Irish. But she's incredible, too. Like, she's just amazing.
Yeah.
She's gonna win an Oscar.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Oh, yeah.
She's incredible.
She's amazing. I think she does, like... Even like the other Irish actors I enjoy, like Andrew Scott.
Ah, he's on my list too. So good.
So talented. So good. Anything he touches turns to gold. But I always find it so interesting how many Irish actors are made to play British or American. Like, I mean, I think me and most people my age, like our first exposure to Andrew Scott was through like Sherlock, where he is playing like a British.
Moriarty, right?
Yeah.
I didn't watch Sherlock. My first thing that I watched with Andrew Scott was Fleabag. Yeah. Which is just so good. And he's playing an Irish priest.
Yes. Let him keep the accent.
Yeah.
And let him keep the accents. Like, I think we don't get enough Irish, like, actors on screen playing Irish roles.
Yeah.
Like, even, like, Cillian Murphy. Like, you think about his well-known roles. Like, I guess he's...
Yeah, well, Peaky Blinders, he's playing very British. Irish? No, I thought...
Is he British?
He's British, because it's, like,
I've never seen Peaky Blinders. Oh,
Tommy
yeah.
Shelby.
I think he is, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like his...
Like Oppenheimer and like all
well,
that.
Well, yeah, that like... too. But I feel like Tommy Shelby is probably one of his like most famous characters, right? And so that's very, very British, like a gangster. So it is nice when they get to play Irish.
Yeah. Get to keep their accents. And of course, you know, can't not mention Irish Queen herself.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree.
Who is on my shirt.
Yes. You guys can't see it, but... Hannah's wearing a green shirt with Iowa Debris' face on it. Very on brand.
Uh-huh. I did make it. if you want to see and you see me out and about, just let me know. I can show you a picture. It's really awesome.
Yeah. Can confirm. It's very cool.
It's got her face and it says, the luck of the Irish be there with you.
And the luck of the Irish are there with us right now because of her.
And if for those of you that don't know, she's not actually Irish, you guys. It's like a running joke online. She's been adopted. She's an honorary Irish person. She's from Boston.
Yeah.
So.
Close.
I mean, that's pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Irish adjacent. But I think when we're talking about Irish media, we can't not talk about music.
Yes. Oh, my God. I mean, anyone who knows me knows that I am just like, a lot of the music I listen to comes from Ireland.
Yeah.
Yeah. it they're just so, I already talked about Fontaine's DC. Mm-hmm. I love them. Inhaler, love them. My mom is a big YouTube fan, so I have to, gotta shout it out. The Cranberries, my mom also loves.
I love the Cranberries.
Dolores O'Riordan, just like iconic. Another icon being Sinead O'Connor.
Yeah. I think like the Cranberries, like their album, like everyone else is doing it, or everybody else is doing it, so why can't we?
Yeah.
Every single song off of that is just an absolute like banger. Like that was just such like an autumn album for me. Like the moment the leaves start falling, I'm like, yep, it's time to let it linger. Like, you know?
So good. And yeah, for those of you that only know Linger, I recommend just listening to every album because they're just so good.
Do a Cranberries listen through. You will not be disappointed. They are so incredible.
Yes.
And funny that you mentioned U2, because while I was doing like research for this episode, I found this super cool band called Virgin Prunes. So they're a Dublin-based goth band from the 80s, and one of the members is the brother of U2 guitarist David Evans.
Who is that? Is that The Edge? Okay, I was like, I don't know his actual name. David Evans. There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. What's the name of the guitarist is it the guitarist in Virgin Prunes, you said?
The guitarist in Virgin Prunes. Okay. Yeah, I don't know his name, but I know his brother's David Evans. Oh. And they're really good. Like, if you like goth, new wave, this is very much peak, like, 80s, that feel. And we'll play a song from them later on.
That was awesome.
I'm very glad to have discovered them because this is going to get me through, like, spring. I was just thinking, I feel like my music needs some revitalizing. So now I've got Kneecap, I've got the Virgin Prunes, like, very exciting for me, you know?
Yeah.
I've got a lot happening for my music.
Can I suggest some other Irish bands for you?
Please do.
Well, we were just saying that neither of us knew that My Bloody Valentine was Irish. That kind of surprised me, but I thought that was pretty cool. New Dad. They're really good. I really like them. Slowly is a really good song. The Murder Capital.
Ooh.
You probably know like Slow Dance Eye. That's probably their most popular song.
Yeah.
They're really good though. And Whipping Boy.
Ooh.
I think you would really like Whipping Boy, Emma. Yes. I found them because Fontaine's DC covered one of their songs.
Okay.
Twinkle. And it's so good. And they're awesome. They're like also kind of like punk, post-punk. I don't know exactly what like decade they kind of occupy, but they're so good. And
I'll have to give them a listen. I mean, I'd be remiss without mentioning Hozier before I play this song.
And how many times have you seen Hozier?
I've seen Hozier twice. In concert. Yeah, not to flex, but both times goes absolutely crazy. I love how he's also incorporating the Irish language into his music.
Oh yeah.
Like, yeah.
Which songs? I'm not super well versed in Hozier.
I'm forgetting the name of that. There's some off Unreal on Earth where he sings.
And that's his most recent album,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. So it's definitely something that's come up a bit more recently, but like you can even see in his early work, like with Nina Cried Power, and like he's got one that talks about like this Irish word for like water, like the warmth that comes from water, and he's like explained like the lore of it before he sings the song. I'm forgetting which one it is now, of course. I think it's the Someone from a Warmer Climate or Butchered Tongue is about like Irish, like,
the language.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I highly recommend, if you haven't checked out Unreal on Earth, great listen through, very fun, very cohesive. But we will not be playing anything off of that.
No,
we are going to hit up some Virgin Prunes because I got to put you guys on this.
You know,
if you haven't already, shout out to Spotify for putting me on this. So hopefully there are some fans out there who will enjoy this. This is Baby Turns Blue by the Virgin Prunes.
Thank you.
All right, so that was Baby Turns Blue by the Virgin Prunes. Hopefully you guys enjoyed, because this brings us to the end of the episode.
Yeah, thank you guys for listening, tuning in to our St. Paddy's special about Irish cinema and Irish works of art.
Yeah, and as always, we'll be back next week, 4 to 5, CITR 101.9 FM. You know us, you love us. I've been Emma.
And I've been Hannah.
All right, see you guys. Bye-bye.
See ya.